Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. It should be fun. After all, Scott has inside jokes with people he's never even met.
Joining us now to say Tom a hotline. He's a journalist as well as the author of the Baseball 100. Joe Posnanski, welcome to the Scott Hamilton Show.
Great to be here. How are you?
I'm riled up now, Joe. I don't know if you heard me talking about the 85 Cardinals. I love that team more than anything.
Yeah, no, the 85 Cardinals get a lot of people riled up.
I remember watching that World Series, and I'm thinking, what if Vince Coleman hadn't been run over by the tarp? What could have been? And then, of course, everything that unfolded from there. I remember Andujar losing his mind. I think it was John Tudor punched an air conditioner or something, messed his hand up. He was never the same. That team gave me everything I could ever want.
Yeah, that team was a blast in that World Series because they played a Royals team that was pretty much the same. Also, didn't really have anybody who could hit other than George Brett, and they ran – played great defense, great pitching. It was a very different time for sure.
And the tie that bind was Whitey Herzog managed both at one point.
Exactly right.
See,
exactly
right. I don't even have notes in front of me, Joe. I don't even have notes in front of me. I didn't have a lot of friends when growing up. Watch a lot of baseball. We're joined by Joe Posnanski. Follow him on Twitter at @JPosnanski. Joe, Hall of Fame. We're going to find out class of 2022 next week. What are you thinking? What do you expect to see?
I'll tell you what. I think there's only one guy who really has a chance to make it, and that's David Ortiz. I think he is in the early results that have come in. He seems to be doing quite well, and you know, he's not a lock by any means, but I think he's got a chance. And then, of course, this is the last year that Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, Sammy Sosa are going to be on the ballot, Curt Schilling as well. And so it looks like all of those guys are not going to make it this year and will have to be considered by the veterans committees.
That's striking, Joe, because I was of the belief that maybe one or two of those guys would get in this year, that they were going to, quote-unquote, punish them and make them go in at the 11th hour on the ballot, and that perhaps there was a changing of the guard, that the older generation, the previous voters who so looked down on the PED era, they're aging out, new guys are coming in. I guess it's
sure.
Just going to be more of the same old, same old.
Well, you know, I think that is exactly what a lot of people thought. A lot of people thought when those guys get to the last ballot, okay, fine, and, you know, you've been punished for 9 years, you've been waiting, so now you're going to get in. But the tide never really quite turned. I mean, they certainly are getting more votes than they were getting. I'm sure that all of them, well, Schilling won't. Schilling is a whole other story. But with Bonds and Clemens in particular, they're going to get their highest percentage. I'm just predicting. You never know what's going to happen for sure. But based on what I know and what we've seen so far, they'll both probably get the highest percentage. But I think they both won't come especially close to the 75% you need to get in. And it is striking, and it is interesting. And I'll tell you what, I don't think there's a real appetite among any veterans committees to put those guys in. So it's going to be a real question whether the guy who, one way or another, has the most home runs in baseball history and a guy who might have been the greatest pitcher in baseball history ever get into the Hall of Fame. It's crazy.
Joe, now correct me if I'm wrong. You are a Hall of Fame voter, right?
I am a Hall of Fame voter, yes.
Okay, I'm a Heisman voter, and I know that if I reveal my ballot, black helicopters appear and there are red dots on my forehead. But are you allowed to reveal your ballot at this point?
I am allowed to reveal it. What I normally do is do a reveal on my website, joeposnanski.com. I just reveal it just before the announcement. But, you know, look, everybody kind of knows who I vote for. And you know, I've been voting for years. I've been making it public for years. Everybody knows I'm a Bonds and Clemens voter and have been from the very start. I can tell you that the toughest calls this year were guys like A-Rod, who not only tested positive for steroids, sort of tested positive, but admitted using and basically was suspended from baseball for a year because he did it at a time you know, when everybody knew how bad it was. You know, I mean, that's the one thing that I think really gets overlooked when you talk about Bonds and Clemens, is that a pretty high percentage of players were using, and the game was not making any effort to clean it up. I think there was a sense, hey, that things were going great. The home runs were flying out of the parks. Everybody was pretty happy. And there's no question in my mind there are steroid users in the Hall of Fame. So for me, it was always like, well, we're gonna these are the two guys that are going to pay the price for everything that went wrong in baseball. That's not right. So I've been voting for them for years, but they're not going to get the votes, I don't think.
Well, then, Joe, by that logic, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but by that logic, then wouldn't Mark McGwire then be a more suitable candidate, considering that the bulk of his career came when he was juicing, and then when it all came out, you could see a significant drop.
I'm a McGwire fan, and I'm a fan for a couple of reasons. Look, McGwire wasn't as good a player as Barry Bonds.
No.
You know, so you can make the argument, like, he was a pretty limited player. Home runs was pretty much his entire game. Home runs and walks. You know, he didn't really do anything else. So you can make the argument that basically he was helped by steroids more than other people were, whatever. For me, McGwire is a very interesting case because he's the one guy who admitted it, flat out admitted it. I mean, came out, did a whole, you might remember that interview he did with Bob Costas. I mean, he admitted using, apologized for using, said he was going to dedicate his time to keeping kids from using. I mean, he's the one guy that kind of stood up in the middle of all of this. Now, it took him a long time to do it, but so what? Nobody else has done it. Nobody else has really come clean the way that he came clean. So for me, I absolutely think he should be qualified for the Hall of Fame, and I'd put him in. I think he was the guy. You talk about Cardinals. He was the guy that we would show up, you know, 2 hours before the game just to watch him take batting practice. I mean, he was a complete, you know, force of nature. And so, yeah, I think that Mark McGwire absolutely has a Hall of Fame case. I don't think he's going to get in at any point. I mean, he's already been off the ballot for years, and veterans committees have already said no to him. So he's a guy that I don't think is going to get in at any point. But in my view, yeah, Mark McGwire was the greatest home run hitter I ever saw.
We're joined by Joe Posnanski. Follow him on Twitter at Jay Posnanski. Joe, let me throw this out there and work with me for a minute here. I'm thinking there's got to be some way where there's this joint kumbaya statement or whatever from baseball and the Hall of Fame and the Players Association where amnesty is given to everybody that ever played the game prior to 2008 or whatever, 2007. Amnesty is given. And basically, you know, whatever happened, because it was such a symbiotic era for both sides. I mean, the players benefited from the PEDs, and the game benefited from the players using them. And you could make the argument that baseball might not be anywhere near it is now if McGwire and Sosa had not been juicing, if we hadn't had them, didn't have that magical summer of 1998. I mean, can you see anything in our lifetime happening such as that, where all is forgiven, pardoned, and these guys get ushered in as if nothing ever happened?
Well, first of all, I think everything you're saying is 100%, well, not just 100% right in my view, but also amnesty has been given. This is what's so crazy about this. It's just not been given to the players. You know, the guy who ran baseball throughout the entire era was Bud Selig. He's in the Hall of Fame. The managers who managed Mark McGwire and Sammy, you know, and these other guys, soon Dusty Baker will be in there, so for Barry Bonds, Clemens, these guys. The managers, they're in the Hall of Fame. It's the players. The players specifically are taking the brunt. Now, you could argue, hey, they're the ones that did it. They're the ones that cheated. They're the ones that used. Of course, that's true. But the game just was broken. It just was. I mean, it was bad enough that they had to yank all of these people in front of Congress. I mean, the game itself was broken. So I'm 100% for that. I'm 100% for saying, look, we don't know what happened before 2007, but it is time for amnesty. It is time to remember that era was a spectacular era of baseball, and that's the era that so many people grew up in. And I hear from people all the time. I think this is really interesting. I hear from people all the time that said, you know, I loved Barry Bonds. I grew up when Mark McGwire was hitting all those home runs and Sammy Sosa was hitting up all those runs. And by not putting those guys in the Hall of Fame, you're telling me that my time didn't count. That, you know, being a fan during that era didn't count. And I think that's right. I really, truly think that's right. So, nobody's happy with what happened in baseball, but it did happen. And in my view, those guys should be in the Hall of Fame.
Joe, how much do analytics factor into voting now? These stats, they just drive me absolutely insane. And again, you might have heard me mentioned, I only cared about four stats, at least with hitters. How much right. does all this other stuff, war and all this, factor in when you sit down and fill out your ballot?
Well, I actually like a lot of the new advanced stats, and I do look at them. They're a tool, right? Everything is a tool. Batting average is a tool. On base percentage is a tool. Pitcher wins are a tool. Everything is a tool, and you use, you know, as much of it as you want or as little of it as you want. I think there's so many things that go in my view, to whether a player was a true Hall of Famer. And part of that is, you know, what kind of impact did they have on their teams? What kind of impact did they have on the game? A guy like Derek Jeter is somebody who everybody knows is a Hall of Famer. I mean, he was almost unanimous in voting. You know, his advanced stats are not that great because he was not a very good defensive shortstop, and so his stats take a bit of a hit. But then his other stats, like, you know, well over 3,000 hits and, you know, high batting average and everything else, are great. So I think it really comes down to, you know, what you like, what you value as a fan, and whatever you value as a fan, there's a stat for you. You know, so if you just are like, look, I just like the basics. I want guys who drive runs in. You got RBIs. If you're somebody who's like, I want somebody who gets on base, you got on base percentage. If you're somebody that's like, I like a well-rounded player who does everything well, you got a stat like WAR that looks at everything. So, I mean, it really is whatever stat sort of speaks to you.
Joe, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention your book. Now, I have yet to read the Baseball 100, but I did read the Baseball 100 Project on the Athletic. Now, how much of that is incorporated into your book? Is it your book?
It's a lot of it is incorporated. Each of the essays are reworked and redone, but it is the same list. It's the same order of players. So it's you have gotten the basics for sure.
Okay, there's one guy that I would like to briefly discuss that you schooled me on that I had never heard of, and I'm ashamed. And it's, we're going to get to it really quickly. You have, can I give the reveal, Joe, or do you want to sell the book? Do you mind if I give the top five?
No, reveal away. Sure.
Okay, he's got Willie Mays 1, you've got Babe Ruth 2, Barry Bonds 3. I don't disagree with any of those. Henry Aaron 4, absolutely. You could have put him at any of those positions in front of that.
Yes.
Oscar Charleston. I had never heard of Oscar Charleston. He's sandwiched between Hank Aaron and the great Ted Williams. When did you learn about Oscar Charleston, and what was it like trying to find out as much as you could about this man? Because you have him at number 5, but he still seems to be almost like Paul Bunyan or John Henry. Is he real? Is he a myth?
Yeah, no, he really is. There's so many people I've heard from who have been mostly thrilled to learn about this great player of the Negro Leagues, Oscar Charleston. I mean, I knew a little bit about him, I guess, you know, certainly not as a kid. Later I got very interested in the Negro Leagues and learned a little bit about him. But it was really my friendship with Buck O'Neill, who was this, you know, the great spokesman player in the Negro Leagues, manager in the Negro Leagues, and my friend. He's the person, you know, the person I wrote my first book about. And he would just talk about Oscar Charleston all the time, just talk about just his greatness. He was Willie Mays before Willie Mays. He could do everything. He'd steal you 100 bases and hit you 50 home runs. And it was just so fascinating to hear from somebody who'd actually seen him play. And you're right, there's not a lot of information. There is now a great book out about him by Jeremy Beer, which really sort of opens up a lot of doors, which is nice. But he is so much of myth because he played really in the 20s and 30s in the Negro Leagues. It's even before Satchel Paige and before Josh Gibson and some of the other players people probably have heard of. But he was Babe Ruth in his time, in his place, and with greater speed and a greater defensive player. So truly, truly one of the greatest players who ever lived.
When you're doing your research and you're learning about a player like that, and there is so much you have to try to dig up, but there aren't many resources. How do you weigh everything? I mean, obviously the talent was different or the leagues were different. I don't understand, or I can't wrap my mind around how difficult it must be to really juxtapose it against the guys who were playing in the major leagues.
It is hard. It is hard, no question about it. I mean, those guys in the Negro Leagues played a different level of competition, but at the same time, so did players in the major leagues at that time play a different level of competition. So it's difficult. I think what you have to do is, you know, we talk about stats. There's so many stats in this book. There's so many stats as I was thinking about putting this list together. But then there are other players like an Oscar Charleston where it's not about the stats. It's about what people said about them. It's about, you know, the stories that you hear about them. It's about, you know, the incredible, well-rounded nature of his game. I mean, there are just so many things about him that speak to his greatness. And it also is the fact that really people who followed the Negro Leagues throughout history will tell you he was the greatest player in the history of the Negro Leagues. I mean, it's not unanimous. There's certainly Josh Gibson fans out there, and there are other players that would be in that mix. But it's pretty consensus that the greatest player in the history of the Negro Leagues was Oscar Charleston. And when you start with that, that's a pretty powerful thing to start with.
And Joe, before we let you go, I get an email from MLB.com this morning, and they throw out this question: which baseball movie has the greatest ending? I have an issue with it because they only gave us three choices: The Natural, For the Love of the Game, and Field of Dreams. How do you rank them?
Oof.
Yeah, I know.
I can rank those three, but none of those three have the greatest ending in baseball movies. The greatest ending in baseball movies is for A League of Their Own. To me, that's not even close. That her, the sisters clashing at home plate and the ball popping out, that's the greatest ending in the history of baseball movies. So I have a big problem with that right from the start. I'm going to talk to my friends there at MLB.com. That's a mistake.
I don't know. Tom Berenger running out the punt, or the bunt, rather.
What's that?
Tom Berenger, you know, running down the line after he bunted in Major League, or, you know, that was a good ending.
I love Major League because I grew up in Cleveland, but that ending isn't close. It's not even close. And look, the natural ending is great because of the light smashing and everything else. And the Field of Dreams ending is great with the dad playing catch. I mean, those are all great. But the best ending in the history of baseball movies, I will say, is definitely A League of Their Own.
Okay, I'll give you that one. Excellent stuff from Joe Posnanski. Follow him on Twitter at Jay Posnanski. And you can get the Baseball 100 on Amazon, Borders, and anywhere you can get a book. Joe, it's been an absolute blast. I appreciate you coming on. Let's catch up again soon, bud.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, it's Joe Posnanski joining us on the Saitama Hotline.